All right, here for your chuckles, giggles, eye rolls, and groans. Some of the finest dad jokes ever written. Have you heard about the new movie Constipation? Oh, that's right, it never came out. Okay. If you're going into the woods, be careful of those trees. They look kind of shady. See, it's the smile that really does it. Why do chicken coops have two doors? Because if they had four doors, they'd be chicken sedans. What's the best time to go to the dentist? 2:30. Yeah, get it? 2:30. Get it? It's funny. Okay, there we go. R.I.P. boiled water, you will be missed. There, see, there was a full-on chuckle there. All right, here we go. What's the difference among a piano, a tuna, and glue? One, you can tune a piano, but you can't piano a tuna. Yeah, I knew you'd get stuck on that one. He said, what about the glue? And I said, okay, there we go. Dad jokes are, really, they're time-honored. They're cheesy, and of course, I think hilarious. Many of us think that they're hilarious. Not everyone thinks they are, but they give you a chuckle. And they're not the only place in the world that you can find humor. You can find humor in other places, maybe not as fine as dad jokes, but you can find lots of humor in the Bible. Lots of it. Here's some of it. Numbers, the book of Numbers. All this important stuff is going on. The Israelites are escaping. They are wandering. And the Israelites got sick of eating manna, and only manna for three meals a day. So they started complaining and saying, I wish we had meat. And you can't really find fault in wanting something like that, since, you know, manna apparently tastes like some kind of spice and bug goo, and maybe it's a little sweet, looks like resin. Kind of destroys the whole manna from heaven thing by thinking that. But Moses asked God, why have you burdened me with all of these whiny people that keep complaining about not having meat to eat? That's a paraphrase, but that's pretty much what Moses said. And God heard the complaining, and here's kind of what God says. Oh, they want to complain, do they? All right, I'll give them something to complain about. So God says they're going to eat meat, not for one or two days, but for a whole month until, quote, it comes out of their nostrils. This is how God got back there when they were complaining. Yeah, you want meat? You're going to eat meat until it comes out of your nose. There, that's funny. The death of King Jeroboam. It's in 2 Chronicles 21:20. Here's at the end. When he dies, it says, he passed away to no one's regret. I don't think that the writer lacked humor when they said that and when they wrote that. And then there's King David, or David, in 1 Samuel 21:15-16. He pretends to be insane before Achish, the king of Gath, to avoid being returned to Saul. And Achish says to his servants, am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here? That's what he says. Like, we don't have enough people here that are like that? And then there's Elijah. Big time Elijah. Strong guy. Lots of miracles. He's also very fond of sarcasm. Remember the great contest with the prophets of Baal, over which, you know, God would come and light his sacrifice. And that's kind of a comical idea to begin with. But, you know, turning the staffs into snakes and everything, and these snakes eat those other snakes. Anyway, when the prophets of Baal are trying to have their gods do what God, the God of the Israelites, had done, well, he mocks them. And he says, well, he suggests that maybe your God is in the restroom. Maybe your God has to relieve himself. Some translations obscure that, but really what it says is maybe he's gone aside, which means maybe your God had to go. And that's funny. Sarcasm from Elijah. And then there's Jesus. You'd think Jesus wouldn't have a sense of humor? He has a great sense of humor. He embraces others with a sense of humor. In the beginning of the Gospel of John comes this remarkable story of Nathanael, who has been told by his friends that Jesus is the Messiah from Nazareth. And Nathanael responds, as Jesus comes up, he goes, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So that's a little bit funny, and you might think that Jesus would be like, "Oh, that's offensive, you better stop doing that, don't make fun of me." But instead, Jesus says this, he goes, "Oh, surely here's an Israelite in whom there is no deceit," which on its face maybe isn't funny, but "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Oh, look, here's an Israelite who's not a liar." That's pretty much what he's saying. So Jesus made an ethnic joke right there at Nathanael's expense, but it was poking fun at him after Nathanael had poked fun at him. So, Jesus, humor. Lots of humor in the Bible. Don't get me started on the book of Jonah, which is an absurd comedy in the vein of everything is ridiculous and absurd that goes on there. It's hilarious. Sometimes we take things too serious. Not everyone. Remember Steve Case, my friend who spoke here, who I've used some resources from. This is a joke that Steve wrote. It's not a Bible joke, but it's a religious joke. It's also very biting. Man walks into church. Visitor, first-time visitor. It's a beautiful sunny day, and he's a good Sunday morning guy. He's in a great mood. He greets people warmly. He sings the opening hymn at the top of his lungs. And during the greeting time, he hugs people, and he laughs out loud. Finally, a few people come to him and say, "You know, this is not how we worship here, and maybe you might be more comfortable somewhere else." So the man leaves, and he's sitting out on the porch of the church. He's wondering what he did wrong. He was just being happy, enjoying. And Jesus came up and sat right next to him. Jesus looked at him and said, "I don't feel bad. I've been trying to get in there for a long time." Yeah. Humor in the Bible. We've got the humor in today's Bible reading. Little backstory. So we've got Abraham and Sarah, whose names used to be Abram and Sarai, and they're changed to reflect that God is going to make a mighty nation, an extended nation, many ancestors from these two. And time had passed, and they were getting old, and there were no kids, right? And so then Abraham and Hagar get together, and they have Ishmael. And so there's a kid. But then there's jealousy and anger, and then Hagar and Ishmael are sent away. Well, not quite yet, I mean, because more has happened. But eventually Hagar and Ishmael are sent away due to jealousy and awful things. But Sarah still wants to have a baby, even though Ishmael is here at this point. But she knows it's too late. And then these three visitors come and visit Abraham. And Abraham goes through a whole bunch of stuff and has Sarah make cakes and everything like that. We find out through the story that these visitors are angels and God in disguise, really. But what they say is, "Well, first, where's your wife?" "She's in the tent." So we know. We've established this. It's like setting up the joke here. And then they say, "Oh, guess what? Sarah's going to have a baby." It doesn't say that Abraham broke down in a fit of laughter, but you can bet he probably did because he was 90 years old at least at the time, and he probably was like, "Yeah, no, right? Oh, seriously?" But it says that Sarah chuckled to herself, and there's even a dirty part in here. It says, "So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?' And that doesn't mean the pleasure of a child. It means the pleasure of making a child." So there's that little bit that's funny in there. Sarah talking like that. But then she laughs. She really laughs. And the best part, after then, God, in this sense, the Lord says, so God, who is present with them, says, "Why did Sarah laugh?" And Sarah says, "I didn't laugh." And then God's response, "Oh, yes, you laughed." And that's not even the end of it. So then there is a baby. This is later on in the story. Laughter has abounded here, and the baby is born, and the baby's name is Isaac, which means laughter. So it's not a super serious name. I mean, it's a pun that means laughter. But then Sarah, who is in on the joke, God, who is in on the joke, Abraham, who is in on the joke, all the actors in the story, the writer of the story, everyone is in on this joke, naming this child Isaac, upon which Israel is based, because Isaac is the father of Jacob, and so forth and so on. Sarah says, what does she say later on in chapter 21? She reverses the skeptical laughter from before, acknowledging how absurd this whole thing is. You just got to laugh. And she says, everyone who hears will laugh with me. So the laughter turns from skeptical to joy. But all throughout this story, there is absurdity and laughter, and it's fun. Isaac's name is fun. Laughter is fun. Sarah eavesdropping on the conversation. That's fun. So it's entirely appropriate that Isaac should be named Laughter, because God's in on the joke. Abraham and Sarah, they're in on the joke. The writer of this story is in on the joke. That it's okay to laugh at the absurdity of some things, the way they happen, even when things turn out so well, or even when they don't turn out well. It's beautiful to be able to just take a deep sigh and laugh. Have you ever had those situations in your life that's like, I don't know what else to do except laugh, because this is so absurd. So, really? And I guess rather than spend all of your energy on anger, maybe laughter is better. That laughter is the best medicine. I just saw, yes, believe it or not, I just saw the Captain Underpants movie. Anyone? Captain Underpants? Oh, Nick, you saw it. Okay, another potty humor is always fun. One of the villains in the show, in the movie, his name is Professor Poopy Pants. And it's supposed to be some exotic name, but everyone, you know, sees that. And then we find out that his extended name, and the people are really trying hard not to laugh. They have laughed, but they're trying to not laugh at someone's name, because it's unkind to laugh at someone's name. But then he comes out, and Nick, you'll have to correct me if I get it wrong, but it was, I think, Professor von Diarrhea Stein Poopy Pants. I think that's what it is, right? Is that right? Something like that. And they look, they go, wait, seriously? There's just no way that that's not funny. And everyone laughs, and we try not to laugh at the expense of the villain, but it's funny. And if you don't get potty humor, it's just because the part of your brain that turns off at 12 turned off, and for some of us it never did. Right? It's many of us still have that part of our brain when we were 12 that laughs at that kind of humor. How many times do you laugh a day? I hope that you get to laugh a lot. Because the challenge for this week, it's not a highly godly challenge, although it is a godly challenge, because we see in the Bible, we see in the stories of what God does and how God acts, that there is humor in life. And humor and laughter, it does do a body good. A deep guffaw, a chuckle, even a groan and an eye roll can help you out on a day that's not doing so well, or they can make a really great day even better. So the challenge this week, as I said, not completely godly, but yes, godly, because God has given us this gift, and it is to try to laugh every day. At least seven times, maybe several times a day. You may be able to laugh at something absurd. You might laugh at something that is groan-inducing. You might laugh at something that is genuinely funny. Whatever it is, laugh. And take an inventory, or try. I don't know if you want to get all scientific on it, but notice when you laugh, and then notice what you feel like after you laugh. And grasp that part there. And hopefully that will remind you how important it is to laugh a little bit. It doesn't take all your troubles away. It really doesn't. Only, you know, time and effort and healing will help us through whatever troubles that we have. But laughter helps make things a little bit better. So at least once a day, can you program it like that? I hope you can find a way. Laugh. That's the challenge for the week. Laugh. 7 times. Take a little inventory, how you felt before, how you feel afterwards. And then if you want to drop me a note on what the laughter has meant to you, that would be great. We can announce some things next week. We can put some things in the bulletin or in the scroll about what laughter has meant to us over the last week, month, whatever it is. Laugh. Amen.